Can't help but comment on how things go full circle. The Torah was given in the desert, and the way to prepare for Matan Torah, for reasons that we perhaps should review. We explained this once before, but we should review briefly. The way we prepare for Matan Torah is counting. So Torah is given in the desert, and the way you prepare is by counting. And comes the week, you know, right before Shavuos every year, we start Sefer Bamidbar, right? The desert. And what's Sefer Bamidbar? It's called Chumash HaPikudim, the book of the counting. That's why it's translated the book of numbers. It's Sefer HaPikudim, right? That, you know, the book opens up in Bamidbar and also counting B'nai Yisrael. And, you know, just how neat it is that on this day, all those years ago, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. You know, Rosh Chodesh Sivan is when we came to the desert. So we see that the idea of numbers and desert, they have what to do with Matan Torah, and they have what to do with each other, as per Sefer Bamidbar is Chumash HaPikudim. Truth is, we really should raise the issue, you know, the fundamental question as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give the Torah in the desert. Would have not been, seemingly, more apropos to give the Torah in Eretz Yisrael? You know, that's the Holy Land. You know, and in the future, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, well, we were promised that at the end, you know, the center of Torah will be restored to Eretz Yisrael, like it was also initially. You know, when we first came in, you know, the Lishkas HaGozis, you know, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the Grand Rabbinical Court of Shivim Skenim, you know, which they last word on the Torah Shebaal Peh, sat on Har Abayis, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. So you would have thought the Torah should be given in Eretz Yisrael, especially since, you know, the main point of Torah is that Torah demands from us actions, mitzvahs. I mean, that was the debate that Moshe Benu had with the Malachim. The Malachim said, we want the Torah for ourselves. He asked, listen, how are you going to do the mitzvahs? You don't have a father or mother. You don't have money. You don't have, you know, all our vices that the mitzvahs come to correct, right? And most of the mitzvahs, you know, went into effect only when we went into the land of Israel. That's why we find throughout Chumash, Ki Savo El Aretz, many parshas open up. Ki Savo El Aretz, because the mitzvahs, many of the mitzvahs, ma'asios, did not go into effect until we entered the land of Israel. So this all strengthens the question, you know, why was the Torah given in the desert? So it's a very interesting Gemara in the Sugyas of Matan Torah, in Perek Rabbi Akiva, in Masechet Shabbos. So why is it called Har Chorev? Right, Har Sinai, where the Torah is given, it's called Har Chorev. Sheya Sham Yarda Churban La'akum. You know, from that mountain came desolation, right, for the Goyim. And another lashon of the Gemara is, why is it called Har Sinai? Shesham Yarda Sina La'akum. Right over there, you know, two different understandings. You know, the Goyim became hated, or alternatively, the Goyim hate us, right? Because of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the beginning of anti-Semitism. Sham Yarda Sina, right? Hate came into the world with Mamad Har Sinai. Right? Desolation came into the world. That's very strange, right? Because Torah's Chaim gives life. It gave the whole, you know, legitimacy for the Kiyum Ha'olam, like the Gemara says, you know, earlier in that sugya. Eretz Yoreh Shketa, the whole world was nervous if Am Yisrael received the Torah or not, because if we have not received the Torah, the world would have gone back to Tohu Vavohu. Right? So receiving the Torah gave Chaim, gave Kiyum to the world. So it's called Yarda Chorban La'akum. Right? Why is it desolation? It gives life. Right? Why should the Goyim hate us, or why should there be hatred? Because there is Torah on earth. Right? Because the idea is like this. Right? Torah is not a way, you know, to improve life. Like, you know, advice for living, like don't overeat and you should brush after every meal, right? And things like that, that, as it were, try to optimize what life is about. Torah is a whole different world order. It's not like Torah comes to, as it were, you know, be the icing on the cake to improve. Torah supplants the whole world order as it was pre-Matan Torah, that whole era is called, you know, a continuation of the what Chazal called the Alpayim Tohu, the 2,000 years of desolation. Even though there were big civilizations, right? Whether it was, you know, the kingdom of Nimrod and those kings, or Egypt, you know, there were big civilizations, and that whole world order is called Tohu. Called, you know, shapelessness and formlessness, because even though there were buildings and there were streets and there were government and everything that we know today, that what any one person would discuss as the order and the pattern of civilization, even though that all was before Matan Torah, That's all called tohu. Because the earthly way of doing things is not what God wanted. He wanted a different type of world order altogether. He wanted this world to be spiritual, not physical. Wants to be, meaning even though there will be physical entity, there will be physicality, but it should all be geared towards Avodas Hashem, all be geared towards metamorphosizing into something more and more spiritual, like indeed will be at the end of time. What happens at the end of time? So Gemara says it's Haredir, Shital Feishnin Have Alma V'Chad Choruv. This world will last 6,000 years, like the 6 days of the week, parallel to 6 days of the week. And then there'll be like the grand 1,000-year Shabbos. World's closed for renovations. The world will be laid desolate, right? Chad Choruv. For a whole millennium, the world will be desolate. Ulesof Elef Shona, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chozer Mechadesh Olam. At the end, in the 8th millennium, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a new world order. Right? It's going to be a new world. Now, why does the world, explode and get rebuilt? It's all mikoach the Torah. The Torah is putting that energy in the world, building up a force that's going to cause it to metamorphosize and become something else. It's going to become Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not some other place. Olam Haba is right here. This world is destined to undergo a metamorphosis and become Olam Haba. Where your soul goes after it leaves the body, in this lifetime, that's not Olam Haba, that's a misnomer. That's Olam HaNeshamas, it goes to the soul world. And yes, in the soul world, there is a Gan Eden. There is. Right? But that's not the Schar of Mitzvahs. The Schar of Mitzvahs, which the grand reward of real Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, happens right here. This world becomes Olam Haba in the 8th millennium. And the power of the Torah is gradually, being absorbed through every generation. Keeping the Torah is putting energy, inserting energy into the cosmos. So as when it reaches the end of generation, so much power is built up that this form explodes, the corrupted form that needs to be replaced, and the new form sets in. But that's all mikoch the Torah that's being put into the Bria, right? Starting from Matan Torah. Right? The fact that life seemingly goes on the same way it ran before Matan Torah, that world order is to be supplanted. It's supposed to be removed and replaced. Right? The grand transition from one order to the other, right, before the world goes kaboom, right, is Melech HaMashiach. That Melech HaMashiach is the capstone of trying to, prepare the world for that transition. But that transition is built up mikoach the Torah. That's what the Torah does to reality. It's building up this force like until the 7th millennium, it's like the world is in a cocoon, right? And then in the 7th millennium, it breaks out. And what's getting built up in the cocoon is mikoch, Torah, and mitzvahs. But it comes out that Torah is coming to supplant the whole world order as it is and bring a more spiritual world order, right? That's what makes the Goyim so uncomfortable, right? So even though Torah is Chaim, Torah gave life to the world, not as, to give life to this world as we know it. It gave life to the world because this world has the potential to become a better world. So in that way, Torah gives life to the world, but the Torah that gives life to the world is Churban La'akum. It's laying desolate their whole world order that they know and that they love and that they're used to and that they want to hold on to. And the Goyim feel it subconsciously ever since Matan Torah that their world order is being pushed out by the Jews. Right? I wonder why Jews make Goyim feel uncomfortable. We're a real threat to their way of life. Because their way of life, which in the eyes of Torah is called Torah, that's not the real form of reality. That's being pushed out. That's being pushed out by the Torah. Right? So you understand that from Matan Torah, the Goyim felt a sense that, there's going to be Churban. Their way of life will be laid desolate. And that desolation will happen in full actuality in the 7th millennium. Right? Right? Just like the 7th millennium is parallel to Shabbos, we have Shabbos. They don't have Shabbos. Goy Shabbos Chayav Misa. We're the ones who will survive in the 7th millennium. They're not going to survive that. Right? They're not going to survive that transition. Right? And they feel it. And that's why they feel the Churban. And that's why there's the hatred. Right? There's the hatred connected Am Yisrael because they feel it subconsciously that we're trying to push their way out. And that's why the Torah had to be given in the desert. Right, because the Torah is not supposed to be, as we're superimposed upon life, that as if life as we know it is the first floor. The Torah is adding like icing to the cake, the second floor. Torah is a whole different world order. It's not coming to as a supplement. It's coming to replace. And that's why Torah is given in the desert, because, you know, the desert is a place that's desolate, right? Because Torah is a whole alternate way of life, and it lays desolate, the way of life that the secular world knows. So Torah has to be given in a desert, you know, to show that the way of the Torah is a whole different way of life that does not allow for the coexistence, you know, of another way of life, right? If another way of life exists, it's because the Torah hasn't conquered it yet. So that's why Torah is given in the desert, which is Nowheresville. It's nowhere, to show that Torah is from somewhere else, a whole alternate world order. The nature of the world order of the Torah, relative to the world order that there is like the difference between action and thought, the difference between animal and human, right? Animals, you know, just pure creatures of nature. Man is supposed to be, you know, his divine image demands of him that he be, someone thinking and have values and ideals, right? The 50 days of the Omer are gematria ha-adam, right? The 49 days are hadam, ki adamu ha-nefesh, blood. You know, animals have blood also, that's why we're not allowed to eat blood, ki adamu ha-nefesh. The 58 ha-adam, this is the man I had in mind. So what does counting represent? We spoke about this once. Counting is a mental activity. Right? Numbers, if you ever did badly in math, don't feel bad, because numbers don't really exist in physical reality. Numbers are ideas. Three is an idea. You could have three what? Three stars, 3 kilos, 3 tons. It's an idea. And that's really, we can't get into the full depth of it right now, but that's really what's going on at the end of the Seder. We say, Echad mi yodea, Shnayim mi yodea. What does one really represent? Numbers are ideas. Right? One is a mashal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The two-ness that there is, the concept of two, it's really supposed to be a mashal, not for a mundane thing like 2 pounds. It's supposed to be a mashal, you know, it's a concept that is representative of Shnei Luchos HaBris, and that's what's really going on over there. Right? When something is sold by number, you know, by unit, it's a Dover Shebaminyan. A Dover Shebaminyan is not bottled. Right, something that's sold individually. So let's say eggs. Let's say if you would sell an egg, you know, per egg. So if that would fall into one treif egg, would fall into 1,000 kosher eggs, you got to throw out all the eggs. Because a dover shebaminyan ain't no bottle. Right? Something that's sold by number, right, is never annulled. Why? Because something that you was important enough for you to give it a number, that means it's choshuv. Your mind is on it. So that's what the word chashivus, choshuv, is milashim machshava. Also, the word, the Goyim says, the word cheshbon, math, is also milashon chashav. It means that it's choshev now because it is thought worthy. It's attention worthy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts Am Yisrael all the time to show that we're on his mind. It makes us a dover shebaminyan and we're not bottle. Right? That's the idea of numbers. The idea of counting up to Matan Torah is that, you know, this, we want to impose thought on this world of order. Torah is like, as a word, from the realm of pure thought. There's the physical reality. Counting is to try to put thought into reality. Right? But the day of Matan Torah is when this the order of the Torah reigns alone. And that's why it's in the desert. It's a whole different world order. It's not supplementary. It's an order of pure thought, pure value. Right? We condition ourselves to get ready for it by counting also. Try to live by the mind. And not by rote, not by the body, but live by the mind. So counting is the, you know, the hakdama for it. But when it comes to full actuality on the 50th day, right, and the Torah comes into the world, so it comes in a manner that you see that there is no other world order worth living. And that's what it means the Torah is given in the desert. All the other orders that you know have been laid desolate. Amazing thing what happened in the desert. Am Yisrael was told where to camp where. There was order. Order. They were nowhere. And they said, you, these shvatim here, these shvatim there. What's going on over there? They had an orderly configuration. They made a civilization in the desert, right? To teach you that the order that they were living by is a order that's, you know, totally above and beyond the physical order. The role, so Torah had to be given in the desert because it's above the physical order. It's going to be the order that's going to supplant the physical order. And there's a medrash in this week's parsha that every place that in Olam Hazeh is a desert, Osid Lavo is going to be blooming. And every place that was blooming now is Osid to be a desert. It's a medrash in this week's parsha. It's a lot of drashas on Yin of Midbar. Because any place that thought they made it, and this is life as it should be, that's going to be destroyed. Right? places that were desolate, and they knew that this is not what life is all about. You know, the desolation also came with a certain sense of humility, that there's more to do and more. That's what's going to be blooming Lasi Lavo. Lasi Lavo, when the Torah world order takes over, everything that's desolate will bloom. Everything that was blooming now is going to be laid desolate to teach you that the way of life now is not meant to be. Right? That's why the Torah is given a desert, that Torah is coming to teach you that there's a whole nother way of life. So now, just very quickly, the role of Eretz Yisrael, right, is that is the portal to graft the higher world order. Torah Betzim belongs in the desert because it's above life in Olam Hazeh. It is foreign to the way life runs in Olam Hazeh. That's why it brings desolation to the way of life that the secular world knows. Even though it's the, you know, gives schus kiyum for the world, but it's schus kiyum because the world is destined to adopt the world order of Torah. But right now it is at loggerheads with the secular way of life. So that's why Torah belongs in the desert. Eretz Yisrael is the point where the higher order that belongs in the desert can graft itself onto Olam Hazeh. That's the union of Eretz Yisrael. That's why mitzvahs go into effect in Eretz Yisrael. That's the grafting point. And that's the secret, that the whole world is involved when it comes to Israel. Right, some Palestinian kid gets run over. Right, the whole world gets involved. Right, isn't it amazing? Right, Rashi, the very first Rashi in the Torah. The Torah could start from Achoras Elochem. Why do you have the whole Chumash Bereishis? Because the Goyim will come and say, you know, you stole Eretz Yisrael. The whole world gets involved when it comes to Israel. Why? Because Israel is the point where the universes meet. Right, that the higher world order of Torah, mutually exclusive to life in this world, the point where the two orders can meet, right, and Torah could enter reality and take over physical reality, that portal is Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Goyim, they go bananas over Eretz Yisrael, right, because they're making their last stand, because when the Jews control Eretz Yisrael, that's the portal that takes the world order of Torah, that's the whole world order above Olam Hazeh, through Eretz Yisrael, it enters this reality. And Rebbe Shlomo had to give us the special koach of Sefer Bereishis, of koach masa vigilam alesen nachlas goyim, gave us the power so we could conquer nachlas goyim, right? Eretz Yisrael called nachlas goyim. But when we have Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael runs b'derech haTorah, it's called that Torah now has conquered the whole world. And that's why also the goyim get involved to block our conquest of Eretz Yisrael. So b'kitzer, right? Torah Betzim belongs in a desert, right? Coming into Eretz Yisrael is to take that alternate world order and bring it into Olam Hazeh, so as it takes over Olam Hazeh and we conquer the world.